Father, we thank you that you are God and you are good. We thank you for such a time as this and for placing us, God, in this church. Lord, we thank you for the work that you're doing through us, Lord, into the nations. We thank you, God. And we ask that you continue to bless the people around us, Lord. We want to see more and more people reached in the nations. We want to see more and more people, Father God, receive you as their Lord and Savior. And so today, Father, as I minister, God, I pray your Holy Spirit will touch the people listening, God. Take over, Lord God. Increase as I decrease. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let me start off by just saying thank you to Daniel and your team. It takes people of great faith to take 30 kids, teenagers, for camp. It takes great faith, so much trust in God to do that and to bring them back safely. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, you can hide Gareth, but so thank you very much. I appreciated two nights without a teenager in my house. I really appreciate it. Maybe let's push for a week next time. So the next year, 2022, when they start fundraising, please plug in. We want to start fundraising in January so that they can go for a bit longer. Who's in with me? Yes, you see, all the parents of the teenagers are excited. But you see, the thing also with camp is you get to the place where it's, what's next? After camp, we've had this encounter, what's next? And we find ourselves, even as a church, we've had 6 weeks of evangelism. We've had great people from YWAM. Thank you so much for ministering to us. We've learned so much about our relationship with God, committing ourselves to God. And after making that prayer, what's next? Because it is just a prayer, really. It's believing and you say the prayer. What's next? Because you make the prayer when you're in the pit of darkness. You make that prayer when you're in very difficult circumstances. But what next? What do you do next? And I can sort of connect this to a transit lounge. Once upon a time, we had passports and we used to use them and we used to travel. It reminded me when I came to Australia, that's about 14 years now. Yes. And I had never been on an international connecting flight. So I got to South Africa and I was clear on, I'm getting on to SA028 to South Africa. That was South African Airways. And I thought I was being smart because I had a bit of 6 hours in there. So I thought I was being smart. Let me leave the airport and go and see my sister. So I did that. I left. And I went, I saw my sister. Now, when you leave the airport, you go through departure. There's no longer transit. When you come back in, you've got to go back in to check in again. I didn't know that part. They'd only told me about the transit. Now I'm running around thinking, how do I get back into the transit lounge? And you waste time doing that because I'd already been out for so long. I got lost and I'm panicking. Thank God they shouted my name and pointed me to the right gate and everyone's security is running around to get me to the right place. Now I get there and I realize it doesn't say SA028. It actually has QA something else. I am stuck thinking because I'm supposed to be on a South African flight, I have to continue on a South African Airways flight. But now it's a Qantas that comes to Australia. I'm even more confused. And that's what happens when we are in this what next zone. You cannot get back on the flight that you came in with. You cannot get back to yesterday. You cannot go back there. Because that same flight that brought you in, right, is going back where you came from. And what that means is South African Airways was going back to Zimbabwe. Now I have to get onto Qantas to get into Australia. And that's what happens with us in life. You cannot go back. Today we have to make a choice because every morning we wake up with what's next. What's next? Every day is a what's next moment when you get out of bed. And you have to make the deliberate choice to say, yesterday is gone. I have this moment and I have to move on. Don't they just make those transit lounges look beautiful? The chandeliers, the expensive shops. But even in there, you can get lost. If you've been to Doha, it's massive. It's expensive. So you've got to be careful of the choices that you make even in the transit lounge. Today, I want to talk about a very important person. His name was Simon. In the book of John, we read about this man called Simon. Simon was a fisherman with his brother, and he had some friends with him as well, and they were fishing. As they were fishing, a man approached them and asked them to lower their nets on the other side. And at that moment, they had this glorious encounter with Jesus. And Jesus says to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. At that moment, they all start to follow Jesus. They're learning from Jesus every single day. They spend 3 years with Jesus. They become friends. They know the ins and the out of a relationship with Jesus. Jesus gets to the end of his assignment. He dies. He resurrects. Now, this is where I want us to pick up the story in John chapter 21. You can imagine what's going on with Peter. At this point now, he's called Peter because Jesus had already said to him, look, Simon, I want you on a mission and I want to build my church. You are going to be Peter, the rock on which this first Christian church is going to be built. So he's now called Peter. And Peter, if we read through the Gospels, we find that he's distraught, he's broken, he's lost a friend. Now you can imagine what's even going through his mind. He's probably miserable. I don't know. Is he depressed? I don't know. He's confused. All sorts of things are going through his mind. But he's in this what's next moment that all that Jesus has been teaching him. So now what? He's resurrected. What is this it? Is that all there is? What's going to happen? Peter, I would want to assume, was bored in this moment. And Peter says, I'm going fishing. He goes back to his old self. That's what he's familiar with. That's what he knows to do. He goes back fishing. We all tend to do that. Let's find the easy escape. Let's find the easier route. Let's find what we are familiar with. And we make that decision. It won't hurt anyone. I've done it before. Let's just go. Peter loses sight of what he's meant to be doing. And he goes back to his old self. It might look like it's really not important, but John is the only one who actually writes this in the Gospels. The other Gospels don't actually have this account. And I think it's very, very important for us to focus a little bit on this. Why? Why was it so easy for him to go back to being a fisherman after all the 3 years on a daily basis hearing from Jesus? He knew. Mind you, he had already been tested before. 3 times he denied Jesus. So he's aware. And you would think he's supposed to be vigilant to know that I shouldn't do this. But no, it's just one little thing. I'll just go and fish. I'm bored. We'll get up. And it says, not what it says in the scripture at that moment. It says, he did not recognize Jesus. Jesus was already on shore when Peter went in to fish, and he didn't recognize him. When we decide to leave the transit lounge and go back, it is so easy for us to rationalize our choices. It is so easy for us to bring some sort of understanding to, well, I had to the point that we stop seeing Jesus. We don't recognize him. It is so easy. We see in the life of church, so many people give their lives to Christ and go back. And we sit and ask ourselves every time, how could they do this? How could they do this? they failed to recognize Jesus, who had called him in the first place. But you know, the good thing about God is he's still faithful, even in the story. Even in the story, he's still gracious to Peter. He's still gracious to Peter. And Jesus calls out to him and he says, friends. He doesn't say, hey, boys, what are you doing? Friends, because they are familiar. They know each other. And he says, friends, haven't you caught anything yet? I love this because it reminds me of Albert Einstein, who actually says, when you do something over and over again, expecting different results, that's just called foolishness. Peter had been a fisherman for years and should have known better how to fish. Yet he finds himself in this situation again, catching nothing. Catching nothing after the whole night working so hard. When we find ourselves going back and forth and yielding no results, no positive gain, that is our cue to stop. We stop, we reflect, we look back and say, I think something has just gone wrong. It is important to be honest with ourselves and reflect on that. It doesn't make us bad people, but it makes us just honest and vigilant, checking on ourselves because we were making progress. So it's important for us to reflect on that. And then Jesus says to him, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to hold the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciples whom Jesus loved said, Peter, it's the Lord. It's the other people around him who then remind him that it's Jesus. Yet he was a very close friend and couldn't recognize him because you are so focused on what he was doing, thinking it was the right thing, thinking, well, I'm bored. I need some refreshing. I need something to boost me up. And we do that a lot. It's the people around him who reminded him, can you not recognize Jesus? At that moment, it says he jumped into the water and he swam to shore. Grace, oh grace. On shore, Jesus had a barbecue going, a fish. That is grace. God loves us that much to supply our every need. Perhaps Peter had gone in thinking, I'm just going to go and get some breakfast or my meal. And there Jesus was, had it all going, ready for them. I can imagine the delight. I can imagine what was on their faces as the disciples went on shore. I would have been so excited seeing Jesus again and seeing that he even has a gift for me. As the story goes on, he says to them, Jesus asks Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Oh, yes, yes, Lord. Oh, yes. You know I love you. Don't we all say that? And Jesus says, then feed my lambs. Jesus repeated the question. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know I love you. Then take care of my sheep. That is what he had already told him before. And at this point, Jesus is like, yeah, you say you love me, but yet you're not doing what I've asked you to do. A third time, he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? At this moment, Peter is hurt that Jesus asks the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Three times he repeats the assignment. We are on an assignment, and our assignment is simple, to make disciples. It is so clear how that is the part we figure out. But the assignment is very clear. When we decide that we are going to follow Jesus, we are not just believing, but we are following. Those are two things that are different. So many of us know Jesus. So many of us know God, but we don't want to follow. We don't want to follow. We have to make that decision in the what's next zone of our lives every day. It's a choice we make to follow. Yes. Knowing Him is different. Following Him is the assignment. We follow Jesus. That's what we choose to do. If we love Jesus as we say, follow Him. Follow Him. When you're contemplating going back, no. Follow Jesus. Fix your eyes on the assignment and follow Jesus. Last week, Pastor David preached on the light. And as he was preaching, I was wriggling in my, I was quite restless because I had written about the light. And I'm thinking, did I share my sermon with him at all? But I was quite grateful because it was confirmation that the Holy Spirit wanted us to talk about this. I'm going to ask Stephanie and Dan to help me and the sound desk if we can all turn off the lights. This is life without Jesus. This is life. Now, if you can grab your cell phone, if you have a cell phone, one by one, start to turn the light on. One by one, start to turn the light on. Exactly. When we start to turn the light on, it gets brighter and brighter. It gets brighter and brighter. If you can turn on the lights, thank you. Do this when you get home and try it. Each time you find yourself going back, try this and remind yourself. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Bible tells us we are marked by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us. It means that we have to be conscious that we are the light bearers. The light will not be hidden in a bushel. We need to understand that we are supposed to be a reflection of Jesus. So when we choose to turn back, we are hiding that which God has imparted in us. And we have a responsibility to build the church. If Peter had continued fishing fish and not build the church, the Christian church will be extinct. You and I have a responsibility to continue spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ in our unique ways. Whether it is by buying rice in the Philippines, it doesn't matter how we do it, but we are still sharing the love of Christ. So when you decide you are not going to turn that light on, think again. When you choose not to follow Jesus, think again of the impact it has, not just to you, but to your family. Because you are the reflection of Jesus in your family. You are important to God. You, not the person sitting next to you. You. So every day you wake up, you tell yourself, I am important to God. I am important to God. I am the light that has to shine in my workplace. I am the light of Jesus Christ that has to shine in my family, everywhere that I go, because that is the assignment that we have. The Bible says to us to trust Him with all our hearts and in all our ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make our paths straight. Trusting Him and following Him every single day. Isn't it funny how I can preach a short message? Yes, I love this. I'm actually coming to the end of my sermon. And I just want to remind us this. The transit lounge is tempting. It is very tempting. All sorts of fears, all sorts of feelings happen. And we find ourselves every day thinking, what could be better? What's in it for me? What can I get out of this? Let's not do that. And let's just focus on following Jesus. It is that simple. Focus on following Jesus. And he will put everything else in order. It doesn't matter whether you're battling an addiction or not. And we find as Christians, we tend to categorize, isn't it? That this is worse than the other or that sort of thing. It doesn't matter. Even if you're battling an addiction, you make the choice. This is it. I'm not getting on that flight back. I'm staying in the transit lounge to connect to my future. The Holy Spirit is at work in you because he has already been deposited in you. By you accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you get the whole package. The whole package. All you do is you wait, you connect, and you keep going. Every day, you wait, you connect, you keep going. As I wrap up, I just want to ask, you might have found yourself in a transit lounge and you still haven't even given your life to Jesus Christ. You still haven't decided. I don't know why you're holding back, but Jesus is the deal. He's the deal. He has a wonderful plan and a purpose for all of us. He doesn't want to see you crying every day. He doesn't want to see you distraught every day. He wants to bring joy to your life. He wants to bring peace to your life. This is it. This is the moment. And we want to pray with you. And even for those of us who've probably turned away, like Peter, we went back to our old ways. We've got one leg in, the other on the side. We're still on the fence deciding which way we go. This is it. You can't get back on that flight. You're not going back. We're going forward. Forward always with Jesus. Make that decision today to have a good life in Christ. Make that decision today not just to know Jesus, but to actually follow him, following him, trusting him with everything in your life, trusting him with everything, and he will make your path straight. Maybe that's you. With every eye closed, we'll bow our heads. If that's you, just raise your hand, and then I'll know who I'm praying with. We just want to reestablish our relationship with God this morning and connect with him and trust him again and follow him because we want our lives to be changed forever. You are important. You matter in the building of the church. You are important. If that's you, just raise your hand. Let us pray. If you can repeat after me. Dear God, I know I am a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that he died for my sin and that you raised him to life. I want to trust him as my Savior and follow him as Lord from this day forward. Guide my life and help me to do your will. Amen.